Dear God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the presence of the saints. We thank you, Lord, for all of those who are with us online. Would you bless us today, and may you speak your word to us. May you find good soils in our hearts as the seed of your word is planted. We commit ourselves in your hands, in Christ's precious name. Amen. Now we are still looking into the Lord's Prayer, and we said there were six requests in the Lord's Prayer, and we are looking at the third request, the third petition, that is Godward. And there are three petitions that will be towards ourselves, and this one is probably the one of the most confusing or misunderstood petition. Lord, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Or maybe we say it without really understanding what are the implications of such a petition to the Lord. But I hope that today, as I'm going to clarify what we are asking or what we should be asking, that we would end up with the right disposition of heart as we turn to the Lord and saying, Lord, my Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done. We mentioned last time that to bring the kingdom of God in our lives is really to say, I want to be your servant. I want to be I want you to rule over my life. And this, of course, your will be done, is simply a direct result of that. You cannot ask God to be the king of your life and somehow his will is not as important. Now, you will see that it's very challenging for us to give our will to anybody. The first thing I like to do is just to ask the question, you know, your will be done. Personally, I have an issue with that. First of all, I wonder, should we ask for God's will to be done in our lives? If God wills something for my life, I should want to know. But should I ask your will be done? In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, it says that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And this is through the knowledge of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:11 speaks of all scripture inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. Psalm 119, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. I have the word of God. I have the commandments of God. They make me wiser than my enemies. In Psalm 19:7, the law of God is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So my question is, why would I follow what James says in Chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. I thought all of that we had in the scriptures. You read the scriptures, they give you wisdom, so why would I ask for wisdom? And we ask, and it says, God gives generously to everyone without reproach. So I'm kind of challenged here. Your will be done, O Lord. Isn't the will of God done anyways? So why would I ask for it? When I look into the scriptures, Ephesians 1:11, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. There's not something that he doesn't work after the counsel of his will. He's going to do what he wills. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. So he's not only directing the great things, the great system of our galaxies. He also directs the sparrows. They fall on the ground. Most of us don't know that they fall on the ground. They die alone in this world. But not really. Scripture says they would not fall apart from our Father in heaven. Even the hair. Many of you all have gray hairs. I bet you don't even know how many gray hair you have. He does. He does. Listen to Peter and John in Acts 4:27. This is when they have appeared before the council to explain themselves and what they're teaching, and they are released. They go see others, and together they glorify God. And this is what they say in their prayers to God: for truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. In their prayers, they said, well, whatever they did, your hand was behind it. Why should I ask your will be done? Shouldn't I just say it, that your will be done anyways? But rather, I ask for a purpose. Now, what I just described to you, maybe some would call that the decretive will of God, or the God's will of decree. And this is the will of God that he sets in time. He pronounces, ordains that it will happen, and it will happen. But it is different in many cases, because God... when we speak of the will of God in Scripture, we see different ways in which the will of God is used. Now, there is also the will of God when it comes to his desires. God's will of desire, or others will call it the preceptive will of God. And here you see the word precept, the preceptive will of God. In John 1, he says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. So here he makes a command, which is clearly his will. But how many violate that will? He does not ordain that. He commands it. Because later on he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Therefore, there is some who will not do the will of my Father who is in heaven. God has a certain will that will be disobeyed. That's his preceptive will. His will of desire. His desire is that you follow this path. And he leaves you the choice to follow the path. Some will follow, some will not. So you can already see your will be done has a context. God may decree a lot of things. It is only of your business for you to trust in him. Not for you to give him responsibility over anything. Just like Peter and John. They went through trouble, but they saw God's hand in it. Oh, they are coming against you. They came against Christ, but it was your hand behind it. It is a way to rest upon God, to not fear trouble, to simply go and do his bidding. When Christ left, he says, go and make disciples. That was the call. They go and make disciples. Trouble comes their way. They know it's from God. They just listen to what God said to them. So they follow the preceptive will of God. They trust in the decretive will of God. But there is also another will. That's where most people are confused. It's not in the Bible. God has not decreed anything. But now I start asking myself, what is God's will for me? Should I become a pastor? Should I stop becoming a pastor? Should I go to church this morning? Should I wear this or that? What is God's will for me to do right now? We're bringing those things in such confusing times and situations. Is it God's will for me to look for to make every little decision? Should I have come up here with these two books? Just leave that one downstairs and maybe pick it up after. Is that what the will of God is meant to be used? Is that how it's meant to be used? Well, the permissive will of God, some would call it. Others would have more the idea of God's will of direction. God guides people. Is it true that God guides us individually? Of course it is true. The question is not whether it is true. The question is whether I need to seek God for every little step of it. And the question is no. And the answer is no, rather. I'd like to read you an example that MacArthur gives here. And this is in the small booklet, Found God's Will. And here he gives the example of a friend of his who is asking that same question. What is God's will for me here? So he said, I had a friend come to me and say, John, I don't know where the Lord wants me to serve. I said to him, Marty, if you had your choice of any service in the world, what would you want? And he said, oh, I have such a burden for my people Israel. I speak French fluently and Paris is just loaded with Jewish people who don't know Jesus. I personally would like to go to Paris as a missionary to the Jews. So he checked him on 5 spiritual principles: whether he's a believer, whether he has the Spirit of God, whether he abides by the Word of God, and other principles, how he lives his life. And he said yes to all of those. Have you done all these things? And Marty replied, yes, I honestly believe that I am committed to Christ in those areas. He said, Marty, goodbye. Have a nice trip. He hesitated and said, but I have to write to 42 mission boards. He said, no. And Marty said, but it's only my desire. And John answers him, then trust that it is God who planted it. Get out of here. So he joined the faith mission and signed up for France. They put up a big plate there. Marty's going to France, raised all the support. And at the time of writing the book, Marty was in Canada. So he had the sense, right? He just didn't know where he would be. God led him to Canada. You do what you have in your heart. Are you a child of God? Yes, I'm a child of God. Am I seeking God's wisdom through his word? Yes. Am I living in a way that honors God? Yes. Am I spirit filled is the question. Yes. Then whatever is in your heart. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is a challenge for us in the sense that, first of all, we need to understand what is the will of God in heaven before we look for it on earth. Now, keep in mind, when we pray these things, we're not praying just for the will of God to be done in somebody else's life. My life first. I'm responsible of this one. But how does God will, how is God will done in my life as it is in heaven? Now, I want you to read, to hear this humbly, okay? Because there's a difference between heaven and earth. There's a lot of sin here. And so what we look at in heaven is a quite a great, perfect picture. Knowing God, he doesn't go for less than perfection. And we'll see how this could be more of an encouragement. But first, before I ask it, Lord, may your will be done, I'd like to know what it means that your will is done in heaven. Then I may pray that. At least I will know what is it that I'm asking for in terms of God's will in my life. Just a few passages for us to survey. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, here it speaks of the living creatures giving glory and honor and thanks to him, those who sit on a throne, to him who lives forever and ever. And then there are 24 elders who fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they will worship him who lives forever and ever, and they will cast their crowns before the throne. These are people of great honor. They have thrones of their own, Scripture says, next to the Lord, and yet they fall on their faces and cast their crowns before the Lord. The worship of God in heaven is very reverent, very zealous. These are people of high honor who are willing to go on their knees, on their faces, and give all their honor to the King. I know many of you, some of you are asking, okay, is this really the picture of heaven? Yes, it is the picture of heaven. This is a picture of God's word, God's place. Heaven is not somewhere up there. Heaven is where the throne of God is. So when his throne is on earth, that's heaven. So here in this place of glory, in heaven, they worship him reverently. Now, you compare that to sometimes how flippantly we come before the throne of grace. How God is a body. He's just one who walks with us, you know, he's a pal. Well, yes, he's your father. But he's your father in heaven. He's your holy father. He is not just the king, which actually we don't even come to the king like this. I wouldn't go to the queen like we would go to each other's homes. There's a protocol. No, he's greater than that. He's the King of Kings. And there is a protocol to follow. Broken spirit, humility, reverence, worship, because he's worthy of all of those things. Now, keep in mind, you will do that. It's guaranteed. You'll be so spirit-filled in glory, this is not even going to be taught to you. But when we call upon God's will to be done in our lives, this is one of the things that we're asking for. Lord, give me a heart of reverence. Help me see you for who you are. Help me not simply come with a negligent heart, negligent attitude, but rather have a picture of your beauty, a picture of your greatness. Help me experience you every time I come to you, as your will be done. Look at this other picture. I find this is the, just in terms of pictures, it's just the hardest for me to even swallow. In Revelation 4:8, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, full of eyes around him and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come." Day and night, the worship of God, the will of God is done in heaven constantly without ceasing. May your will be done in my life without interruption. Now listen, I can't do this. You can't do that. You're going to fall asleep at one point. You're going to be tired. You're going to need to eat. You're going to need to get your mind off of there, or you're going to go crazy. So we are limited by our humanity, by our fallenness. But when I pray, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," I'm praying that, "Father, do not let me wander off your path. Do not let my passions take over. Do not let me be tempted by doing other things and moving outside of your will. I don't have that inner capacity. I'm resting on the God who's able to carry me through." Your will be done is a call for God to preserve you. In chapter 7, you also have another picture that is similar. My Lord, I said to him," and this is John having that vision. "He said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. Many of them have gathered there. They have been washed, and they have made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb.'" Verse 15, "For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and now they serve him day and night in the temple." This is not the angels. These are now many of the believers who went through tribulation, and they are serving him day and night in his temple, serving the one who sits on the throne. Verse 16, "They will hunger no more, they will thirst no more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat." The Lamb is the center. This is the secret of their devotion. The Lamb is the center of the throne. He will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Your will be done in my life means this should, at least, for that to happen, this Lamb has to be the center of my life. If the Lamb is not the center of my life, I'm not sure what kind of will I'm asking for, because outside of the Lamb or his influence, his impact, outside of that, there's only wrath as far as the will of God is concerned. So when I pray, "Your will be done," I'm just saying, "Give me more Christ. Let me remain in him. Let me be washed." If that's not the Christ I'm willing to live by, to live for, God's will for me is not bright. So in heaven, it's continual, but it's also centered on the Lamb. It's centered on Jesus Christ. But hear this picture as well. Isaiah 6. Isaiah looks into the heavens. Verse 1, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, he saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above the Lord," or above the throne, "each having six wings. With two they covered their face, two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. But listen to this. And one called out to another. They ministered to one another. In heaven, there is a mutual edification. They called out to one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let your will be done in my life," is also for me to encourage others. Your will be done on earth. It's not just in me, on earth. And therefore, I got to be included in that. What is my place on earth? What am I here for? Do you remember what Paul said? It is better for him to go and be with the Lord than stay. But why does he stay? For the benefit of others. Once you're saved, really, I mean, if it was only for salvation purpose, we should have slaughterhouses for Christians. You saved? Sure, go. We slaughter you, you with the Lord. Because really, you'll be useless here, right? We, with our sin, we will stay in the name of Christ. We will just trample it underfoot. But no, we stay for one another. We give glory through service, through devoting our lives for the benefit, for the growth of each other. May your will be done on earth, for me, means use me for whatever you will, so that your church may grow, both numerically and spiritually. That's the reason I'm here for. And I remember, I think it was Sunday school. Renaud was talking about being a gift to one another. We are a gift of God to one another. Your will be done in my life is precisely that, that I am a gift to others on earth. So I just want to encourage you with this in John 5. For God's will to be done, it implies a certain number of things. God's will cannot be done in my life unless my life is representing God's will. Now, the reason I'm saying this is that we have wills of our own. And we read scripture sometimes selectively. Just like I have my own selective memory. There are things that I remember. A doctor told me, because I told him, listen, I have a bad memory, but somehow there are things that I just can't remember, I cannot forget. And he told me, oh, yes, that's selective memory. Everybody has that. I said, no. This is like way too selective. I know them very well, but I forget a lot of things. So whatever touches me the most, I would remember. But somehow we treat scripture like that. Whatever we love the most, like a buffet, I would take. Now he says, ask whatever you want, and it will be given to you. And so you read it, you take it just out of that passage, and you say, okay, I'm going to ask whatever I want. But he said it in John 5:7. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But if you don't read what comes before, then you really are going to ask things that are way beyond the scope of what Scripture asks. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. It's a guarantee. It doesn't sound like, you know, you could, you might. He says, if you abide in me, I will make you bear fruit. In verse 7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then ask anything. If you abide in Christ, that means you are transformed so much in such a way that his will is yours, same as Christ. He says, now at this point, this is what I'm experiencing. I really fear what is coming. If you can take this cup away from me, but not my will. Your will is done. I'd rather you do what you want, because what I want is yours. But right now, what I feel like is just to get out of here. So in asking or conforming your will to God's will, it doesn't exclude what you feel at that moment. We are allowed to say, Father, I really don't feel like doing this. I'm not confident in this. I don't have the strength, but your will be done in my life. I want to surrender to you. So I'm not denying the weakness of my flesh. I am resting it upon God. And what he says is, the more you spend time in me to live by the Spirit, the more you spend time in my word to treasure it and feed from it, the more your will be conformed to mine. And what you want is going to be the things that the Spirit is leading you to ask. Keep in mind, in that prayer, he already told you, I know beforehand what you're going to ask. He knows before you speak the words, he knows. So you're not going to surprise him. You know, I tried that one day. Actually, I did. Because I was reading that, principle precisely, knowing that God will know everything that comes out of my mind. In my prayer, I would think of something and pray for something else very quickly. And the exercise itself, I just realized at the end of the exercise that it was really, I don't want to say the words because of the kids, but it was really not right in my head. I was trying to trick God, pray one thing or think of one thing to say and then just switch to something else. And I said, this is quite a dangerous exercise, because you don't know what is going to come out. What if what comes out is not honoring to God? And then I realized, even that, he knows. I am really the one fooling myself in such an exercise. But I tried. I just wanted to see if it feels possible. But God knows the words. But that's also a bit ridiculous, because when God says he knows the words, what he's trying to say is that he knows your heart. So the very thought of changing what I'm going to say, he was there listening to that thought with me. The worst is that he knew that way before I did it. Years ago. But I'm going to tell you why God wants us to conform to his will. In this text, John says, abide in him, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You will abide in my love. That is why if you read God's word and his commands and they feel burdensome, there is something that is off. They should be burdensome for someone who's not a believer. They should be. They should be convicting. They should be telling you, oh man, this is, you're done. When you meet this God, you roast. But a Christian reading should see the tenderness of a father. One who wants you to not hurt yourself. Yes, he will say, don't do this, that, and I'm sometimes getting tired of saying that, because I have to say it to many of them. And sometimes, even if I give instructions to many of the kids, I have to call out each one of them individually. Somehow they didn't feel like the general call was theirs. It was just, it was general in the air. They need their names attached to it. And you find yourself saying the same thing over and over, but at the end of the day, the reason I'm saying it is for their safety. So when I see the Lord constantly convicting me of something, it should not be, oh man, he's killing my joy right now. No, he's saving your life. He is making you safe for tomorrow. He knows what you are up to. Doing unsafe things, trying to say things that you didn't think before, you know, changing your words in the middle of prayers. He knew those things. And that's why he says, when you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment, and now I abide in his love. And the reason these things he's speaking to us is that his joy will be in us. It's for joy's sake. It's not a kill joy. It's a make joy. It builds it. It fills you with it. Because you see the safety, you see the hope, you see the strength, the power that he provides in it. And with that, you see, you learn to enjoy his will. It is not a matter of competition, God's will versus my will. No, he's teaching you how to love his will, how to see the safety in it, how to see the wisdom in it, how to see the effectiveness in it, and how to see that, listen, if you go with God, really nothing can thwart his plans. At the end of the day, he said it. What I say is going to happen. So if you stick with him, you are on the winning team, period. Your will be done, Lord, in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in my life. Let me be on the winning team. Let me ride with you. Let me learn to love like you. Let me learn to live and act like you. Because that is the way of joy. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have already set a path for us. We thank you, Lord, that salvation is through Christ. We thank you, it's a gift to each one of us. I pray, Father, that you will give us this freedom to turn to you, to seek your will, the freedom to enjoy it from your word, the freedom to seek to live by your precepts. Oh, Father, would you help us just break the habit of seeing your words, seeing the Bible as somehow a competition to our joy, to our happiness. You have invested holy blood to make us happy people. Fill us with that joy, Lord. Fill us with that joy. I commit each one here, Lord, to you, that you would make them people who are willing to sing your praise, because now they see you, they experience you through your word, and they are willing to run after you. I pray these things, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.